In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are a few Sundays in our lectionary rotations that the preacher dreads, because something about the passage or the theme is so obscure, scandalous, or even isolating to the listener. For example, nobody wants to preach on the Sunday where Jesus talks about divorce, because it's a touchy subject to many people who have been through that. Another good example of a Sunday nobody wants to touch is Trinity Sunday. Because if you say the wrong thing about the Trinity on Trinity Sunday, then you've just double blasphemed. Just kidding. God forgives us for our lack of understanding. In fact, God is incredibly generous with our lack of understanding. And speaking of a lack of understanding, today's gospel is also one of those passages that the preacher dreads, because there are so many misconceptions about what it means, so it must be handled with care. And unfortunately, the gospel passage we read today is not something scholars will ever fully agree on while we're here on earth. But in heaven, I will be the first to ask Jesus, "Hey, it's great to see you, but I was just wondering if you could tell me why you called that lady a dog that one time. It was kind of rude." But while I'm alive, I'm going to keep muddling through this passage once every 3 years in our lectionary cycle, and hopefully every time I get a new piece of the puzzle. So today's puzzle piece is that Jesus is trying to get his followers to zoom way out. Sometimes a parable only becomes relevant to our lives if it's seen in action. This is especially the case for the disciples, who were living as typical practicing Jews at the time, which meant that they would normally follow all cleanliness customs regarding mealtime, which included hand washing and avoiding interacting with certain ethnicities. But here's the thing. The very beginning of the passage in Matthew 15 tells us that the disciples are already not following the religious customs and traditions of their time. So the story really begins with Jesus being questioned by religious leaders about why the disciples aren't following what the tradition says. But rather than be defensive about this accusation, Jesus reminds the religious authority figures that their behaviors often violate the spirit of the law while ignoring God's primary commandment to love one's neighbor. And so, from there, that's when Jesus tells them it is not what goes into the body that defiles, but what comes from the heart and leaves the mouth. By now, we are very familiar with this pattern of the religious leadership hassling Jesus, but there's an even more prevalent pattern that shows up in this passage. The disciples are just not getting it. At this point, Christ's followers understand his teachings enough that they weren't personally obsessing over rituals. But the disciples don't understand that Christ's teachings, they don't understand them well enough to keep from falling prey to the same hypocrisy seen in the religious leadership. And when we get to this interaction that Jesus has with the Canaanite woman, it's hard to not be distracted by Jesus saying something seemingly insulting to a stranger, even if that stranger is ritualistically unclean. Now, there's been a lot of scholarship hypothesizing about what Jesus meant. Is it as simple as Jesus saying something offensive and this woman sets him straight? I don't think that's what it is. I'm inclined to think that the movement of the story as a whole wants us to focus on what the disciples are doing. First, the disciples do something that catches the eye of the religious leadership as unclean. Jesus explains that it is what comes out of your mouth that is unclean. Then, Jesus and his crew come across someone that is considered even more unclean by her ethnicity. And the disciples think the cleanliness laws still apply when it comes to people outside their ethnic circle. They think that God's compassion expands further than the legalistic leaders think it does, but they still do not think it extends to her. So they tell Jesus to shoo her away. But he doesn't shoo her away. If anything, to me, and this is my personal interpretation, it seems like he pauses and makes space for the disciples to finally understand, since he doesn't directly address them. Then he says something that clearly contradicts what he said about cleanliness before. And the Canaanite woman immediately understands what the disciples do not, that God's love and compassion is not isolated to a particular group. The one true God extends mercy to all, even the people that we don't think that mercy should extend to. If you've noticed this pattern of interactions between Jesus and his disciples all throughout this gospel and all summer, you'd already be ahead of his followers. Which brings me back to my first point. Jesus is incredibly generous with our misunderstandings and misinterpretations. You and I, we have been the apostles on countless occasions, wanting God to be lenient and generous with love and mercy when it comes to us and our shortcomings, but struggling when it comes to wanting that for other people too. And maybe that's one of the reasons why Jesus is so patient with the disciples. Misunderstanding does not disqualify you from discipleship. But with each misunderstanding, Jesus calls his disciples to love a little more generously and to expand their understanding of just how far God's mercy can reach. And Jesus does the same thing with us. Because it's very easy to look back at the people who came before us and recognize where they drew their circle too narrowly. It's much harder to recognize the places where we are doing that same thing. The disciples had already learned that God was more generous than the religious authorities imagined. What they had not yet learned was that God was more generous than they imagined. And that is a lesson I suspect we'll spend our entire lives learning. Because every time we think we finally figured out the boundaries of God's mercy, Jesus seems to find someone standing on the other side of them. Somebody we had forgotten. Somebody we thought was too foreign, too sinful, too strange, or simply not our problem. And Jesus keeps reminding us, zoom out. God's mercy is bigger than any categories we make for one another. It reaches everyone. So, perhaps we don't have to understand exactly what Jesus meant all the time, because as we heard, the disciples sure didn't. But we have to just keep following him long enough to discover that whenever we thought we had reached the edge of God's mercy, God was already there, loving someone on the other side. Amen.